Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Dion Gordon Podcast. I'm your host, the connoisseur of common sense, the purveyor of authenticity, the man who calls it right down the middle, Dion Tyre Gordon. Enough of the bullshit. Let's get to work. Well, it's been a while. It's been a long time. It shouldn't have left you without a dope podcast to step to. Been out of town, been on vacation, been back in Maryland for about 2.5 weeks, took a little time off, didn't want to be in my granddad's house ranting and raving, cursing, talking shit, saying the F word every 10 seconds. I would love to say I was busy back home, but I was not busy at all. I was pretty much neglected, bored out of my fucking mind, a complete waste of time and money to even go back to the East Coast, to go back to Frederick, Maryland. Was there for about 10 days. Complete waste of fucking time, bored out of my mind. Probably should have done some podcasts. It wasn't like I was doing anything else with anyone else. You know, it's just disappointing. You spend the amount of money that I spend to go back home and visit people, friends and family, allegedly, so-called. And you know, you try to check in with folks and your time is just completely wasted and you feel neglected. Can't stress that enough. Just a complete waste of time and an absolute embarrassment for myself to even go back home and, you know, just be disappointed the way I was. Traveling during COVID, during the holidays, not easy. Went out and got vaccinated. Went out and got that vaccine that I didn't want, quite frankly, just so I could travel home and be with family members, most of whom are very old at an advanced age. And just wasted my time, money, and got a vaccine that I didn't want to get. So it was an overall complete disaster in every way, shape, or form. And you know, lesson learned. That's all I can say. Lesson learned. We'll be moving more carefully in the future and be more selective with where I want to spend my time at and where I want to spend my money at in the future going forward. Lesson learned. You know, it was great seeing my two little nieces, 5 years old and 2 years old, respectively. Great seeing my mother and everything. And a few other folks here and there. I shouldn't say it was a complete disaster. I did see some folks, but for the most part, just not enough. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever for me to travel back to where I'm from, my hometown, my place of birth, and spend that much time alone. Doesn't make any sense whatsoever. I'm sitting there by myself for a number of days thinking to myself, why am I here by myself? Why'd I even come here? What was the point of this? I could have went to Hawaii. I could have went somewhere that was warm with a nice temperature, a tropical island. I could have really enjoyed myself with my vacation time, my time off from work at the end of the year. I chose to go back home and be around people that I'm supposed to be close to. And for the most part, I spent a lot of time alone and by myself. So I'm greatly disappointed. But as I already said, lesson learned. In true Dion Gordon fashion, I keep receipts. I tell people all the time, you better watch what you say and do to me because I remember everything and don't forget nothing. So we'll keep a lot of things in mind. Moving on, the second biggest thing I was greatly disappointed with during my time home was the 49ers game versus Tennessee Titans. This was about 2 weeks ago. It was on a Thursday. It seems like years ago. But I go downtown to my favorite watering hole, Old Town Tavern. I get all dressed up, got my Faithful to the Bay 49er jacket on, looking so fresh, looking so clean. Got my Niner hat on, Niner mask. I'm all Ninered out. It's game day. I'm ready to watch this game. And then the starting quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers, the most overrated football player who ever played football, Jimmy Garoppolo, proceeds to stink up the joint and leave about 21 points on the field by himself with his absolutely abysmal, utterly pathetic and embarrassing performance versus the Tennessee Titans, where he single-handedly cost the 49ers the game. So now I'm even more pissed off during my time home. On one hand, I'm spending time by myself for the most part. I'm bored out of my fucking mind. I feel like I wasted a lot of time and money and put my life on the line to travel back home during the pandemic. And then I gotta sit here and put up with this complete failure from the guy who is allegedly a great NFL quarterback, or so I've been told, and I'm watching the 49ers lose a game they should have won, where they're up 10-0 and it should have been at least 21-0. But this jackass, this scumbag, this scoundrel, this douchebag, this overrated football player, this guy who was the fifth highest paid football player in the National Football League, is on the field versus Tennessee Titans, shitting the bed. A complete abortion of a performance. And now I'm even more pissed off, even more disappointed, even more outraged because Jimmy Garoppolo is ruining my Christmas. The Thursday night game, 2 days before Christmas. Jimmy Garoppolo was the Grinch who stole Christmas for me as a 49er fan. And to further compound my frustration with Jimmy Garoppolo, after he throws a hideous interception in the end zone intended for George Kittle and gets picked off by Janoris Jackrabbit Jenkins, Kittle was never open on his play. He already made his mind up pre-snap where he's going with the football and tried to force a pass to George Kittle, got picked off by Jackrabbit Jenkins, and he's on the sideline. The camera picks him up, and he has a smile on his face. He's grinning from ear to ear like a slit watermelon. He's smiling. What the fuck are you smiling about? What are you so happy about right now? You have a smile on your face? You go back a week before that. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers play the New Orleans Saints on Sunday Night Football. They get shut out 9-0. Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback who ever played football, is on the sideline smashing Microsoft tablets in frustration. He's pissed. He's throwing shit. Ain't no smile on his face. This is a 7-time champion. This is the greatest winner the sport's ever seen. The greatest quarterback of all time. 44 years of age. Already done everything he could possibly do in the NFL. And here this guy is throwing a temper tantrum on the sideline. Mad as a motherfucker. Because he's getting beat 9-0. He's getting shut out. He threw a pick in that game. He had a horrible game. Obviously, they didn't score any points. They got shut out 9-0. And he reacted accordingly. He has the appropriate reaction. When you're out there getting your ass kicked and not winning the football game, you shouldn't be smiling on the fucking sideline like Jimmy Garoppolo was. When you throw two costly interceptions and completely airmail a wide-ass open Kyle Juszczyk on a wheel route, the game is being played in Nashville, Tennessee. Jimmy Garoppolo threw this pass to fucking Memphis, to Chattanooga. He threw this pass out of bounds. There's no one around Kyle Juszczyk. He's literally in the camera frame by himself. This is a walk-in touchdown, and Jimmy Garoppolo threw it to the fucking sideline because he sucks. And yet, and still, there he is on the sideline, grinning from ear to ear, smiling, laughing even, as if nothing wrong is happening right now. Are you kidding me, dude? Are you absolutely fucking serious? That was embarrassing. As a Niner fan, I was embarrassed to see that. The starting quarterback for the 49ers is on the sideline laughing and smiling after that shitty performance he gave on national television, on NFL Network. He's on the sideline laughing and smiling. This is a joke to him? Did Dave Chappelle just walk by and tell him a joke or something? What an absolute disaster Jimmy Garoppolo was on that December 23rd game against Tennessee on that Thursday night. A complete, unmitigated disaster. A pitiful failure. Woefully inept. Absolute shit. Basura. All the above. He sucked. He stunk up the joint versus Tennessee Titans. And I've been sitting on that for about 12 days now. I had to get that off my chest on this podcast. But I say all that to say this. Allegedly, so I've been told, the rumors are, the reports are, at some point during that game, Jimmy Garoppolo got injured. He hurt his thumb. Now, wait a minute. You're telling me Jimmy Garoppolo got hurt? Now, what else is new? In other news, water is wet and the sky is blue. Jimmy Garoppolo got hurt. His thumb on his throwing hand, his right thumb, was injured. A torn ligament and a chip fracture somewhere in his thumb. So he was going to be unable to play in this past Sunday's game versus the Houston Texans. Didn't stop Jimmy in the post game from twisting open the cap on a water bottle. His thumb didn't appear to be too hurt doing that. Showed no ill effects. No grimace, no pain, no nothing throughout the game and during the post game about his allegedly injured thumb. Maybe it's hurt, maybe it's not. Who cares? He wasn't throwing the ball too well before he hurt his thumb. He got sacked in the second quarter, and that's when the injury was said to have happened. But like I said, even before he got hurt, it wasn't like he was out there spinning the ball and making accurate passes even before he got hurt. So to me, you can't even blame the injury. He sucks even when he's healthy. Then you add the injury to it, now he's even worse. So all you heard last week was Jimmy Garoppolo may or may not play against the Houston Texans. He's questionable. He's doubtful. His status is up in the air. Trey Lance, the backup quarterback, the man who the 49ers invested 2 first-round draft picks to get in last year's NFL draft, the 2021 NFL draft. The guy who's been waiting in the wings. The guy who everyone keeps telling me isn't ready yet. He has to sit for 2 or 3 years while Garoppolo assumes the reins as QB1 for the 49ers. He had one start earlier this season against the Arizona Cardinals. He single-handedly accounted for 281 of the team's 321 total yards. Unfortunately, the 49ers lost that game 17-10. He was erratic. He was a bit out of sorts early in the season when he had to fill in for Garoppolo the first time he got hurt this season with a calf against the Seattle Seahawks. But as erratic and unpolished and raw as he looked, he still moves the chains, still moved the football. He scored points versus Seattle. And as I said, he accounted for 281, the team's 321 yards, and had a higher passer rating than Kyler Murray in that game. People forget or just don't want to mention, at that point in the season, the Arizona Cardinals were the best team in pro football with a healthy J.J. Watt on defense. They were undefeated at that time. That was a home game for them. That game was in Arizona. And Trey Lance, 21 years of age, making his NFL debut, his first ever NFL start, went on the road and held his own and gave his team an opportunity to win in that football game. Just came up a little bit short. Didn't help that Kyle Shanahan had an absolutely embarrassing and idiotic, stupid-ass game plan for that game and also left about 9 points on the field by neglecting to go for easy chip shot field goals. That doesn't get talked about. So since that game, we have not seen Trey Lance other than quick shots on the sideline. Jimmy Garoppolo has played every game since then. Early in the season, you saw Trey have certain packages exclusively for him. He might come in on a goal line situation, a short yardage situation. But ever since that Arizona game, you never saw Trey Lance on the field. It was always been Jimmy Garoppolo up until now with his thumb injury. And that cleared the way for Trey Lance to make his NFL debut at home. His first ever start at Levi's Stadium last Sunday versus the Houston Texans. A lot of nervousness out here in the Bay Area. A lot of trepidation for Trey Lance making his first ever NFL start at home, his second start ever in the NFL, period. Trust me when I tell you this. The dynamic between Trey Lance and Jimmy Garoppolo has literally split the 49er fan base right down the middle. Tell me if you ever heard that before. It's the most polarizing topic among 49er fans. Are you a Trey Lance person? Are you a Jimmy Garoppolo person? Do you think Trey isn't ready to play? Do you think Trey should be on the field getting live reps and experience and building himself up and developing for the future? It's been a hot button topic all season long. Now, for those of you who've been listening to the Dion Gordon podcast, those of you who have culture and class, once again, I appreciate that, of course, you know that I'm firmly in the camp that Trey Lance should have been the day one starter for the San Francisco 49ers. Once that decision was made to trade all that draft capital to move up and get Trey Lance, at that very moment, he should have been the guy, unquestioned. Jimmy Garoppolo should have been traded. In the offseason, the New England Patriots offered a second-round draft pick for Jimmy Garoppolo. Why not just take that? Because all I've heard all season long is that you got to play Jimmy in an attempt to boost up his stock, to boost up his profile so that you can trade him and try to get some of those draft picks back that you spent to get Trey Lance. To which I've been saying, you're never going to raise Jimmy Garoppolo's profile higher than what it was in the offseason when the Patriots were offering a second-round draft pick. Remember, this is before they drafted Mac Jones. Now they've drafted Mac Jones. He's had some success this season. He looks to be the quarterback of the future for the Patriots. So now they don't need Jimmy Garoppolo anymore. They're not going to offer a second-round draft pick for Jimmy Garoppolo. No team in the NFL is going to offer a second-round draft pick for Jimmy Garoppolo. You already had your opportunity to trade him and try to get something back in return that's worth what you think is worth for Jimmy Garoppolo. That ship has already sailed. So I don't understand anything we've done all season long from a quarterbacking standpoint. If you're going to invest that much to get Trey Lance, then he should be the guy. Roll with it, groom him, develop him, rally around him. Tell the guys in the locker room, you might be attached to Jimmy Garoppolo, tough shit. He's on the way out. Our guy right now is Trey Lance. That's who we're moving forward with. That's what Kyle Shanahan should have done. I don't think Kyle had the balls to do that. I think Kyle got spooked because there's a lot of guys in the locker room who like Jimmy Garoppolo, George Kittle, and so many others. A lot of guys who were on this team in 2019 who went to the Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo as a starting quarterback, they might be attached to Jimmy Garoppolo. So they don't want to invest their time with a young 21-year-old rookie who's only had 3 starts since 2019, who hasn't played that much football in his life, really, hasn't played that much quarterback. Trey Lance plays safety in high school. He really hasn't even been playing quarterback that much of his life. So a lot of guys might have been hesitant to even roll with Trey Lance as a leader of the football team, knowing that 2 years ago we got to the Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo. So why are you going to all of a sudden switch and put this young guy and this 21-year-old kid in there to quarterback this team? We feel like we have Super Bowl aspirations this year. To me, the whole thing has been a mess. It was a mess that was created by the 49er front office and their overall indecisiveness. And, you know, they haven't really figured out how to really manage this situation, because, as I already said, it split the fan base down the middle. It's the most polarizing hot-button topic among 49er fans, and it's been a controversy from the moment that Trey Lance was drafted. They made it known the entire offseason, we don't really want Jimmy Garoppolo anymore. They flirted with Matt Stafford, Deshaun Watson, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, and then made the trade to go out and get Trey Lance, and then double backed and said, you know what, Jimmy's our guy, though. We're going to roll with Jimmy for this season and let this Trey sit and watch and be groomed and developed and watch Jimmy Garoppolo play and learn from him. And then he'll be ready next season or maybe even 2 years from now. The whole thing has been completely mismanaged. However, one point they made in the offseason that has now rung true is that Trey Lance is a significant upgrade at the backup quarterback position over what we've had in years past. Because when Jimmy gets hurt, which happens quite often, Jimmy Garoppolo has missed 23 games as a starting quarterback for the 49ers ever since he was named a day one starter in 2018. He missed 13 games in 2018. He missed 10 games in 2020. So this guy's missed 23 football games as a starting quarterback for the 49ers. And in his absence in years past, the 49ers had to turn to Nick Mullins and C.J. Beathard. Neither one of those guys are good NFL quarterbacks. The best thing I can say about Jimmy Garoppolo is that he's better than both of those guys. So now, that brings us to this past Sunday, January the 2nd, 2022. Happy New Year, everyone, by the way. I'm about 17 minutes into this and just now finally wished everyone a Happy New Year. Happy New Year to you and yours. January the 2nd, 2022, Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara, California. The Houston Texans, the 4-11 Houston Texans, going up against the 8-7 San Francisco 49ers, fighting for their playoff lives and being led into battle by the third pick in the 2021 NFL draft from North Dakota State University, number 5, 6'4", 230, Trey Lance. 49ers needed this win. They need this game. They were 8-6 going into the Tennessee game, and then Jimmy Garoppolo single-handedly threw the game away and shit the bed and stunk up the joint. So that's made the 49ers' playoff prospects that much harder going forward. So this was a must-win situation. This game and next week's game versus the Rams are both must-win situations. And people should not have been fooled by that 4-11 record by the Houston Texans. Last week, this team eviscerated the LA Chargers by 43-28. Davis Mills, the Texans' young rookie quarterback, has been making significant strides all season long after a disastrous performance in his first game versus the Buffalo Bills, where he got shut out 40-0. He's been coming on. He's been playing good quality football ever since then. Rex Burkhead, the running back, ran wild against the Chargers last week. Now, the Chargers have one of the worst defenses in the NFL. They've given up 21 points or more in 11 straight games. They're abysmal on defense, but still, Davis Mills has been playing better quality football, and they're trending in the right direction. They got some things moving down there in Houston after a terrible start. So this game, I never thought this game was going to be that easy, and for about 2.5, 3 quarters, it wasn't. The Niners were able to pull away late in the game. So let's get into this. Let's talk about this 49er Houston game. And let's talk about it from the number one guy in the game, the man of the hour, Trey Lance. I'm going to break down Trey Lance's entire game versus the Houston Texans. Let's start from the first quarter. Trey Lance's first pass attempt on 3rd-and-10. Tom Compton playing right tackle, filling in for Mike McGlinchey, gets destroyed at right tackle. Pressure coming off the edge. 49ers are in the shotgun. Lance feels the pressure, escapes to his left, rolls out of the pocket, picks up a few yards, short of the first down, 3-and-out, Niners have to punt. His next pass attempt on 1st-and-10, a little bit later on in the first quarter, Tom Compton once again gets wiped out at right tackle. Pressure on Lance, escapes the pressure, evades the pressure, rolls out to his right, dumps it off in the flat to George Kittle, 2-yard gain, nothing special about that. Next play, 3rd-and-1 quarterback sneak. He successfully picked it up. 1st-down 49ers. Good play, Trey Lance. Moving on to the next play. 1st-and-10 naked bootleg play action. Fakes it to Elijah Mitchell, comes back to his right, dumps it off in the flat to Kyle Juszczyk. Ball was underthrown, not a good throw. Juszczyk only picked up about 2 or 3 yards in this play. Could have been a better ball, so Juszczyk could have turned upfield and gained more yardage. So, yes, it was a pass completion, but the ball could have been a lot more accurate, so you could have gotten more yards out of that play. Moving on to the next play. 3rd and 10, little RPO action. Fakes it to Elijah Mitchell, takes it himself off the left side. He gets tackled short of the first down. So the Niners decide to go for it on 4th and short. He once again, RPO action, takes it off the left side, gets tackled. Trey Lance is a mobile quarterback. I don't think he's as fast as people want to believe he is. A lot of people make the lazy comparison between Lance and Colin Kaepernick because both guys are mixed race kids, half black, half white. They play for the 49ers. Like I said, it's a lazy comparison rooted in racism. He's not Colin Kaepernick. Not too many people were as fast as Colin Kaepernick. I think people have forgotten what kind of athlete, what kind of player Colin Kaepernick was. Colin Kaepernick, when he was on the field, was by leaps and bounds the fastest guy on the field on a regular basis. Trey Lance has athleticism. He can move. He's mobile. He's not as fast as Colin Kaepernick. When he turned that corner and got on the edge, he should have picked up that first down. He didn't. And to me, anyway, it looked like he kind of slowed down and hesitated on this play, like he's trying to run somebody over. He was doing that all the time in North Dakota State. This is not North Dakota State. This is not FCS competition. And this is not out of the ordinary for mobile dual-threat quarterbacks coming into the NFL. You quickly learn that everybody on this level is fast. You are no longer just going to be far and away the best athlete on the field on a weekly basis like you were in college. Everyone on this level can run. You got linebackers running 4-4, 4-5, and you got a safety coming up at 100 miles per hour who read this play perfectly. Great job by Texan safety Eric Murray, number 23, came up, diagnosed the play, made a great tackle on Trey Lance, who is bigger than him. Trey Lance, like I said, 6'4", 230, great job. This was a form tackle. This was exactly the way it's taught. So excellent job by Eric Murray to tackle Trey Lance and get him on the ground. Short of the first down, turnover on downs, Houston Texans ball. Moving on to Trey Lance's next play. It's 2nd and 9 from the 49ers' own 4-yard line after a Texans punt. Lance is under center, which is a welcome departure from early in the game and the Arizona game where he was almost exclusively in shotgun or pistol formation. The beginning of this game pissed me off because I felt like Kyle was just calling the exact same game plan he called versus Arizona, and I hated that game plan. So it was refreshing as the game progressed to see Trey Lance operating more under center. So in this particular play, as I said, 2nd and 9 from the 49ers' own 4-yard line, it's a 5-man route. He's got George Kittle and Debo Samuel top of the screen. He drops back to pass. Kittle and Debo both run a slant, and they're both wide-ass open. This is a timing precision route. Trey Lance needs to take a 3-step drop and let it go. Get the ball out of his hands to either George Kittle or Debo Samuel, who are both open on the play. He drops back to pass. He didn't trust it. And this was a problem for him early in the first half, was anticipation. Throwing with anticipation, which you need to do on the NFL level. This is not college football anymore. In college, because of the overall disparity in talent on a weekly basis, especially when you play for a quality team, North Dakota State is like the Alabama or the FCS level. They're the best team on the FCS level on a yearly basis. They're far and away better than everyone else. So what Trey Lance and guys like that are accustomed to is seeing guys running around wide-ass open. And as a quarterback on that level, when you're accustomed to that, you're waiting for guys to be wide the fuck open. That's not going to happen in the NFL. As I just said, there's a great difference between college and the NFL. Kittle and Debo were both open enough. They're NFL open. Make the throw. 3-step drop, plant your back foot, let it go. To either one, take your pick. They're both open on the play. That's called throwing with anticipation. That's something that he learned as the game progressed. He got better as the game went along, which is what he did earlier in the season versus Arizona and the same thing he did in the preseason against the LA Chargers. And the Seahawks game, too. When he first got in versus Seattle, he was like a deer in headlights. But the more time he had on the field, the more experience he had, he got better. And you saw that in this game. But early on in this game, you saw a lot of indecisiveness with Trey Lance and not throwing with anticipation. And this play was reflective of that. Two guys open, set your back foot, throw it. Let it go. Get it out your hands. Keep the offense on schedule and keep everything in rhythm. However, He doesn't make the throw to either Kittle or Samuel. So now he panics in the pocket. He's not really even under pressure on this play. But he creates pressure for himself. He retreats back into the end zone, but then avoids pressure, rolls to his right, and makes a nice accurate throw to Brandon Ayuk for a first down. So on this play, you kind of got the full gamut of everything Trey Lance is about at this stage of his career. Young, indecisive, not always throwing with anticipation, but athletic enough and good enough to avert disaster and roll out of the pocket, improvise, and throw it to a guy and pick up a first down anyway. Even though he didn't make the correct play, he still was able to pick up a first down in this play and keep the Niners on schedule and move the chains. So overall, a nice play, albeit he made things harder for himself than it should have been. But a first down for the 49ers nonetheless. Now the next throw, play action. Now he's rolling to his left outside the pocket. He's got an easy, quick check down to George Kittle. He bypasses that read and decides to make a throw about 15 yards downfield to Trent Sherfield. Another 49er first down. This was another play where you could say, well, he made things harder for himself than needed to be. Kittle's right there in front of him. But this guy is so athletic and so strong and so physically gifted. He's able to roll to his left, kind of on his back foot, throw it in an odd body angle, and complete a pass on a rope, a strike, downfield to Trent Sherfield, 15-yard gain, first down, 49ers. I love this throw. This was an excellent throw. The next play, not good at all. Second and 11, he takes an 8-yard sack. And this was the same exact problem from two plays before, not throwing with anticipation, waiting for a receiver to come wide the fuck open, which is not going to happen on every single play on this level. He's learning this. This is on-the-job training. This is a kid with a gross lack of experience. This is only his third start since 2019. He hasn't played that much football, period, since 2019. He hasn't played that much football or that much quarterback in his life. So things like this, every single problem and deficiency he has is something that a guy of his experience level should have. But on this play, bad play. It was his fault he got sacked in this play because he held the ball too long. See it, throw it, get the ball out of your hands, and move the fuck on. Trust the people around you. You're surrounded by a bevy of playmakers. You got George Kittle. You got Deebo Samuel. You got Brandon Ayuk, Kyle Juszczyk, Trent Sherfield, Juwan Jennings, Elijah Mitchell out the backfield. You got a lot of playmakers around you, a plethora of guys who can make some shit happen with the ball in their hands. Get the ball out of your hands, distribute the football to them, and let them do their thing. He's learning this, and he did learn this as the game progressed, but on this particular play, it was his fault that he got sacked because he held on to the ball too long. Now it's 3rd and 19, shotgun formation, drops back to pass, climbs the pocket, and makes a nice accurate throw over the middle to Juwan Jennings, unfortunately short of the first down. That 8-yard sack takes you out of rhythm, ruins the entire drive, makes it 3rd and almost impossible. Niners have to bring the punt team out and punt the ball back to the Houston Texans. The next play was undoubtedly the worst play of the day for Trey Lance. 1st and 10 in about midfield, play action to the left, comes back to his right, sets his feet. He stares down George Kittle the entire way. You want to manipulate the safeties when you do things like this, when you're trying to run play action and take a shot down the field. He's looking to the left the entire time on this play. He's got on the backside, he's got Deebo Samuel wide open, who comes in motion and runs a wheel route right down the seam. That's where the ball probably should have gone. Or he could have checked it down in the flat to Kyle Juszczyk. It's first down. Time, situation, and circumstance. You don't need a big play necessarily on first down. At this point, the score is still tied at 0. Still nothing right now. You don't need to necessarily hit a home run in this play. He had Kittle open. Now, he said in the post game he saw the defense playing cover too. So he made – this was also the correct read. It was a bad ball. And it was a bad job by him giving away the intention in the play because he stared down Kittle the entire play. So if you go back and watch the tape, the Houston defenders are looking right back at Trey Lance. They're staring right into his eyes because they see his intention on this play where he's trying to go with the football. And like I said, he doesn't manipulate the safeties or the linebackers at all. He's looking right at George Kittle the entire time. He threw the ball too flat also, and he acknowledged that in the postgame, which I love because when Jimmy Garoppolo stunk up the joint versus the Tennessee Titans 2 weeks ago, he goes to the postgame and throws the rest of the team under the bus. He's talking about, we didn't do this. We didn't execute. No, motherfucker, you didn't execute. There was no me. It was all we. Passing out blame to the other guys on the team. Trey Lance is 21. a young kid in this game, a rookie. And here he is in the postgame, mature and composed, and taking ownership of the situation, holding himself accountable and saying, I didn't do the right thing on this play. That was my fault. I threw the ball too flat. I made the right read, but it was a bad ball. I could have made a better pass than that. Correct. I agree with you, Trey, 1,000%. That could have and should have been a better ball. He threw it too flat, picked off by Desmond King. Houston takes it back to the 50-yard line, and they ended up scoring after that interception to go up 7-0. So this was easily the worst play of the day for Trey Lance, but this is all a learning process, and he's able to quickly learn from that mistake and not repeat the mistake as the game went along. I'm watching the game. I'm not even upset about the interception that he threw. I'm disappointed, but I'm not upset about it because, once again, he's 21. It's his second career NFL start. I expect him to make mistakes like this. I kind of want him to make mistakes like this so we can learn from it. Now, one of the things I like to do during 49er games, especially during this game with Trey Lance making his first start at home, his second start ever in the NFL, as I said earlier, this is a polarizing, hot-button topic. Do you like Trey? Do you like Jimmy? 49er social media. One of the things I like to do during the game is follow and track 49er social media during the game, live and in real time. And it's split right down the middle. All the people who are anti-Trey for whatever reason. I don't understand that. You're a 49er fan, and you're anti the guy who's going to be the future of the franchise. You already don't like the guy who the team mortgaged the future for. Because you're so far in the tank for Jimmy Garoppolo, you already hate Trey Lance. So you had people all over social media saying, see, I told you so, he's not ready, he's not good, he's not polished, he's washed, he's raw, he sucks. We haven't even scored yet, he just threw a pick, he's terrible. This is the guy that so many of you wanted. You guys all shitting on Jimmy all year long. You wanted Trey Lance to play. Well, look at him now, he's terrible. The Niners are not even scoring any points right now. He's out there committing turnovers as if Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't commit turnovers. The overall hypocrisy of so many 49er fans who were so quick to trash this young man during this game was astounding. How can you be a pro Jimmy Garoppolo person and complain about another 49er quarterback making mistakes and committing turnovers? Did you see the Tennessee Titans game? Did you see that? It was on NFL Network. It was a nationally televised game. I assume if you're a 49er fan, you sat down and watched that game. He threw two awful interceptions in that game. He's 30. Here's the biggest difference. Here's what I try to explain to so many people. Jimmy Garoppolo is 30 years old and been in the NFL for 8 years and been in the Kyle Shanahan system with the 49ers for 5 years. And yet and still, he plays like a rookie his damn self. He looks like a rookie the majority of the time he's out there. Trey Lance is an actual rookie. This is Trey Lance's first year in the NFL. Why are the standards so much higher for the rookie making his second career NFL start than they are for the 30-year-old 8-year pro with 5 years in the system? Why is he allowed to fuck up and make mistakes with impunity, but Trey Lance has to be perfect from day one, from the get-go, from the giddy-up? If Trey Lance had gone out there and thrown, I don't know, 29 of 35, 400 yards, 5 touchdowns, you would have had Niner fans online complaining, well, how come he didn't throw for 6 touchdowns? How come he didn't throw for 450 yards? Why wasn't he perfect? Why wasn't he 35 or 35? See, I told you so. The kid can't play. He's not ready. Put him back on the bench until the year 2025. And Jimmy, we trust. Jimmy's our guy. Get the fuck out of here. Are you people serious? These people have the audacity, the unmitigated gall, the temerity to complain about Trey Lance's turnover when Jimmy Garoppolo has committed 52 turnovers and 44 starts as a starting quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers. In 5 years, he's thrown a measly 65 touchdown passes to 36 interceptions and 16 lost fumbles. And yet, you have people who will go online and with the utmost sincerity, complain and lament about Trey Lance throwing an interception. As if Jimmy Garoppolo just never does that. Come on. Are you fucking serious right now? These people, it's one thing to be hypocritical. It's another thing to be completely delusional. People complained about how the Niners at that point in the game hadn't scored yet. Were all on the verge of getting shut out in the first half. I can go back to early in the season. There were a number of games where the 49ers almost got shut out in the first half. Who was playing quarterback? It wasn't Trey Lance. It was Jimmy Garoppolo. The Eagles game, the Packers game. It took a 68-yard kickoff return by Trenton Cannon. And then it took a Trey Lance touchdown for the 49ers to actually score a touchdown in the first half versus Green Bay on Sunday Night Football. Jimmy Garoppolo was the starting quarterback in that game. How come he didn't score any points in the first half? Why did it take all of that to get a touchdown as time expired going into halftime? Just shut the fuck up. Outgained the Seattle Seahawks 238-7 in week four. Only 7 points to show for it. But you got Niner fans complaining with their panties in a bunch. Clutch the pearls. Oh no, we haven't scored yet in the first half. Like, you haven't seen that this season. Jimmy Garoppolo is throwing a pathetic 19 touchdown passes in 14 games played this season. That's awful. In today's NFL, where they actively promote offensive production in the passing game, the NFL doesn't even want teams to play defense anymore. Quarterbacks are putting up record-setting numbers on a weekly basis. And Jimmy Garoppolo only has 19 touchdown passes and not even 4,000 yards in 14 games played. But that's the guy y'all want. That's who y'all clamor for. That's the standard. That's Trey Lance couldn't possibly do that. No way. All those weapons on offense and Kyle Shanahan's play calling and the running game being what it is regardless of who's out there playing running back. And Jimmy Garoppolo has 19 touchdown passes and 14 games played. And Niner fans are online swearing up and down. He's the answer. He's the guy. That's the man who's going to lead us to another Super Bowl, to our sixth Super Bowl in franchise history. Okay, so the next play for Trey Lance after he got the ball back after Houston scored was a wide receiver screen to Deebo Samuel that went for minimal gain. But now, this is the part of the game. After that pick, after that turnover, after that mistake, after that fuck-up, this is where Trey Lance settled in. The game slowed down for him. He got his composure correct. He got acclimated, and he started playing football. I think up until that point, he was thinking about playing football. I think once he made that turnover and once that happened, he started playing football. He went out there and just reacted and just went through it and trusted himself. You know, I've heard his teammates say they believe in Trey, but they want Trey to believe in Trey. It's about confidence with him. And being in the two-minute drill, you have no choice but to play fast. There's less than 2 minutes left. So playing fast and just going out there and just reading and reacting it and just trusting yourself, and he started to play better football from this moment on. 3rd and 9, nice, accurate, well-thrown ball out to Juszczyk in the flat. 4th down and go for it. They pick up the first down. Now it moved the chains. Now it's 1st down. Drops back the pass, looks to his left, quickly sets his feet, comes back to his right, fires a fucking dagger to Deebo Samuel. In stride, on target, right between the 1 and the 9. Bullet pass, as Greg Gumbel said on commentary. 1st down, 49ers. This is quarterbacking. This is what he didn't do earlier in the game when he had that 2nd and 9, the 4-yard line, when he looked to his left and saw Kittle and Deebo on a slant wide open and didn't throw it, didn't trust it, didn't just set his feet and let it go. On this play, as I said earlier, he got better as the game went along, as the game progressed. On this play, perfect. Set your feet and let it go. 1st down, 49ers. Next play, 1st and 10, avoids pressure, rolls to his right, fires downfield to Deebo Samuel, ball a little bit behind, incomplete pass. We come back on 2nd down, not to be deterred, let's keep it moving. Set his feet, fire it down the seam to Brandon Ayuk, 1st and 10, 49ers. Accurate, well-thrown ball, quick, decisive decision to make that pass in the first place. Good job. Moving the chains. Here we go. 2nd down, 8 seconds left to go. Lance back to throw, makes a nice pass to the back of the end zone to Brandon Ayuk. It's incomplete. Ayuk could have caught this. He got one hand on the ball. I would say he was being interfered with on that play, but I like the decision. It's at the 30-yard line. He's not playing for a field goal. He's being aggressive. He's taking a shot down the field. He's got Ayuk in a one-on-one, and Ayuk, to me, had his best game of the season today. And to me, there's no coincidence because you're playing with a quarterback that's not afraid to throw it down the field for once. Ayuk's been running downfield open almost all season long, and the ball never even comes his way. Jimmy's either afraid to throw it to him or physically can't. But in this game, you saw Ayuk making a number of plays, and him and Lance have a good rapport with each other. All season long, you know, Trey Lance has been on scout teams, so when he tries to get some extra reps in, the receiver, more than anyone else that's been willing to work with him to get him some more extra reps and get him some more throws in, has been Brandon Ayuk. So that's the receiver that he's going to go to, number one. That's the guy he trusts the most. And on this play, I love the decision. I love the decisiveness. I love the anticipation. I loved everything about this throw, even though it was an incomplete pass. I love the fact that he identified where he wanted to go with the football and let it go and made a strong, accurate pass downfield to put pressure on the defense. The very next play, right before halftime, trying to get some points at least, makes a throw to the far sideline to Brandon Ayuk over the outstretched hands of a Texans defender. At first, it looked like this ball was going to be picked off. Fortunately, it wasn't. Went through his hands, over his hands, whatever. Ayuk made a nice catch on the sideline, toe drag, swag, Nate Burleson, all that shit. Sets up a Robbie Gould field goal. So now we're on the board. It's 7-3 Houston going into halftime. But Trey Lance is picking up momentum. Trey Lance is settling in. Trey Lance is now starting to play quarterback. We come out the locker room. Now it's 3rd and 6. Shotgun formation. Lance back to throw. Ayuk running a slant or a skinny post across the middle. Trey Lance, same thing. Read, recognition, anticipation, and fire a fucking laser across the middle of the field. Hits Ayuk in stride. This turns into a 43-yard gain. This was a beautiful throw. This was a wonderful pass by Trey Lance. Right before our eyes, he's growing up. He's becoming a quarterback. The next throw, not so good. That ball was almost picked off. If the ball wasn't thrown as hard as it was thrown, it probably would have been intercepted. The next few plays, design, run plays, wasn't crazy about these play calls. I hate the way Kyle, you know, it was said throughout the broadcast, Kyle himself is still learning how to call plays for Trey Lance, which I think is fucking asinine. He's been in the building since April. He's been on the team since the draft in April. You should know how to call plays for this guy. Maybe because so much of the offense is so fixated on Jimmy. And I would guess there's a Jimmy offense and there's a Trey Lance offense. I don't know why Trey Lance can't run the Jimmy offense. All the Jimmy gimmies, all the quick, easy throws that boost up his completion percentage. I don't know why Trey Lance can't get those throws on a more regular basis either. So the next series of plays, the play calling I just didn't like. Quarterback powers, quarterback dives, short of the first down. Then he runs a rollout on 4th and 1. As Kittle open again in the flat, neglects to throw the ball to Kittle, throws it downfield to Deebo Samuel. You could argue Deebo was being interfered with on this play. Referees didn't call it. It is what it is. Turnover on down. So Trey Lance created this momentum for himself. He's starting to play good quality football. He's starting to play quarterback now. But now you have some things not go his way. A ball that was almost picked off kind of disrupts his rhythm by turning into a running back again. Turnover on downs. It's still not looking 100% clean, but it's about to get better. Houston has the football. Davis Mills is picked off by Marcel Harris, who then fumbles the ball on the return from the interception. The referees, fortunately, ruled him down by forward progress, so the Niners maintain possession of the football. To me, that was kind of like they had to give us one after that pass interference on Deebo Samuel that wasn't called. So that was like, okay, we owe you one. So, you know, I'm not going to argue against it. Truthfully, it was the incorrect call to make. I don't think his forward progress was stopped. I think it was a fumble. It should have been Houston's ball. But as a 49er fan, I'm not going to complain about it. Bad calls go both ways against both teams in every game played in the NFL. It's human error at the end of the day. Shit happens. I'll take it as a 49er fan. Get the ball back. Trey rolls out to his left, fires it downfield, deep down the field to Brandon Ayuk. Now we get a pass interference call at about the 20-yard line. Now the Niners are in business. This is an element of the 49er passing game we have not seen in the past 5 years. Take some shots down the field. Good things happen when you just throw it up down the field. We lost the game to the Indianapolis Colts earlier this season off of pass interference calls from deep passes down the field. It puts stress on the defense. As I said earlier, the NFL doesn't even want teams to play defense anymore. When you throw it downfield, 3 things can happen. Or 4 things. It can be an incomplete pass. It can get picked off. Or it could be a big completion for your team. Or a penalty flag is thrown. So you got a 50% chance of something positive happening for you when you simply throw the ball down the field. Puts pressure and stress on the defense. Stretch the field vertically and good things can potentially happen. So the next play, climbs the pocket, dumps it off to Jamichael Hasty, picks up about 5 yards on a 3rd and 4. So obviously that's a first down. And the ensuing play, play fake to Elijah Mitchell, dumping off in the flat to Elijah Mitchell, walks into the end zone, touchdown San Francisco 49ers. Beautifully designed play by Kyle Shanahan, well executed by Trey Lance and Elijah Mitchell. The Niners take the lead now, a lead they would never relinquish. They're up 10-7 at this point, and it was all downhill from there. Now, this next play, this is going to sound crazy because I really enjoyed the incomplete to Ayuk at the end of the first half. I also enjoyed this incomplete pass to Deebo Samuel across the middle. And what I enjoyed the most about this play was this is a young rookie quarterback. This is a guy still learning, still trying to grow and develop on the job training. He gets to the line of scrimmage, makes his reads pre-snap, identifies what coverage the defense is in, doesn't like what he sees, and checks into a different play, audibles into something else, and goes across the middle with a dig to Deebo Samuel. Well-thrown ball, a little bit behind him. Could have been thrown a little bit better, but still, it hit Deebo in the hands. He should have caught it. And I appreciated the read and the identification on this play, the pre-snap adjustment that was made by Trey Lance. This is quarterbacking. This is more examples of this kid's growth and development and evolution as a quarterback. When you can make those pre-snap reads and identify the coverage the defense is in, and you don't like what you see, you don't like the look they're giving you, and you check into something else, that's quarterbacking. That's growth. That's evolution. And that's a kid learning on the job and getting better as the game progresses. This second half, he was damn near flawless. Damn near flawless. I really enjoyed the way he played football in the second half. And even though this was an incomplete pass, I enjoyed the pre-snap adjustment, the pre-snap read that he made. This was a veteran play, by this young quarterback. And it was encouraging to see this from a young 21-year-old quarterback who's still developing. Now it's 3rd and 8. Drops back to pass, doesn't like what he sees, doesn't try to force anything. Now he shows his athleticism and his mobility. He's flushed out of the pocket, scrambles, outruns a couple Houston defenders, gets to the sideline. Now they have an angle on him to able to prevent him from picking up the first down, although you would like to see him do the little things. Like, Russell Wilson's a master at this. Russell Wilson will always kind of sneak the ball across the first down marker a little bit with his left hand and just barely pick up the first down. Aaron Rodgers is also really good at this. So is Kyler Murray. But those are veteran football players. Trey Lance is not a veteran football player. So these are tricks of the trade. You'll see Trey hopefully learn with more experience as he continues to mature and grow as a quarterback in this league. What I didn't like was Kyle's decision to not go for it, because it was only 4th and inches. He'd been going for it earlier in the game on 4th and 1 or 4th and 2. Now it's 4th and inches. You have momentum. You have the lead. Your young quarterback is playing better football now, and you decline to go for it on 4th down. You bring out Mitch Wisnowski and kick the ball right back to Houston. I didn't understand that play call at all on that decision from Kyle Shanahan whatsoever. Defense once again holds, though. Defense to the rescue. Defense was outstanding today. Please give defensive coordinator D'Amico Ryans his proper credit. Give that man his flowers. He's been calling excellent game plans all year long. Outside of the second game against Arizona, the Niners defense has been the strongest unit on his football team. And D'Amico Ryans, from top to bottom to me, has been the best coach on the 49ers all season long. And that includes Kyle Shanahan. D'Amico Ryans, with a beleaguered secondary, with an improving Ambry Thomas, by the way. Ambry Thomas, I thought, had an awesome game in this game. Josh Norman, not so much. He ended up getting benched about time. But with the secondary being as depleted as it is, without Jason Verrett and without Emmanuel Mosley, this team is still figuring out a way to shut opposing offenses down and keep the game close for the offense that's been struggling for the most part throughout the entire season. So I just wanted to make sure I mentioned that and said that in this podcast. The Niners defense has been great all season long. Dan Orlovsky from ESPN gave D'Amico Ryans his credit on Twitter earlier today, saying something to the effect that people don't give him enough credit for the way he's able to disguise coverages and confuse opposing offenses. I co-sign that to the fullest. I agree with that 1,000%. The Niners defense being led by D'Amico Ryans has been excellent all season long. Now back to Trey Lance. It's 3rd and 3, shotgun formation. Quick drop, 3-step drop, plants his back foot, lets it go to Juwan Jennings, who's still running his route. He's running an out route to the far sideline. He's still in the middle of going through his break. He's not even looking back towards the ball yet, and Trey Lance has already let it go. Anticipation. read and recognition. Determine where you want to go with the football. See it, identify it, back foot set, release it, let it go. Could have been a better thrown ball? Yes. But I like the anticipation on this play. I like the decisiveness by Trey Lance on this play to understand where he wanted to go with the football and just let it go. First down, 49ers. Juwan Jennings, outstanding catch on this play. The ball was low. Not the ideal ball placement, but still good enough, accurate enough, and strong enough, too. This ball was another fucking laser, a dart. This ball was shot out of Trey Lance's hands. First down, 49ers, and that sets up the play of the day. First down and 10. We're at midfield, so why not take a shot? Hard play action to the left to Elijah Mitchell. Come back to his right, whip his head around, set his feet, and plant and release a 45-yard kill shot down the field to Deebo Samuel running a deep crosser. This ball might have been 10 feet off the ground and thrown about 45 yards in the air from the near hash to the far sideline. Only one defender back, and he was in no man's land against Deebo Samuel. Perfectly, accurately, well-thrown football right between the 1 and the 9 on Deebo Samuel's jersey. Shakes off a defender and walks into the end zone. Touchdown 49ers, and the end of the game, effectively. The game finished on this play. This was a kill shot. This was beautiful play design, and this was even better execution by Trey Lance. And this was, once again, something that we 49er fans are not accustomed to seeing. Someone taking a shot down the field to effectively end the football game. Big play capability comes with Trey Lance pulling the trigger on offense. I can't tell you enough how much I love this play. I'm watching the game. I stood up out my seat when this play happened. This was beautiful. This was flawless. This was a chef's kiss of a play. Everything, he did everything right on this play. The play action, the hard play action to get the defense flowing from one side to the other. And then, like I said, quickly turn around, whip your head around, sell the play, sell the fake, set your feet, and release it down the field and just let it go. And a perfectly accurately thrown football, 45 yards down the field, 10 feet off the ground. The ball, the trajectory of the ball didn't even leave the camera. The camera didn't even have to pan to follow the football. It stayed in the same camera shot. He threw a dart. This was beautiful. This was absolutely fucking beautiful. Trey Lance, bravo. Salute to you, young man. Attaboy, pat on the back, all the above. That was a fucking throw. That's something we ain't seen in a while over here in 49er land. That was a throw. That's the big play capability. That's what I've been clamoring for all season long. Just put him on the field. You saw within the framework of one game how he grew and developed, how he got out to a bad start, made some mistakes, didn't read defenses properly, didn't throw with anticipation. And then in the same game, he gets better. He improves. He raises his level of play in the same game. Imagine what he can do throughout the entire season on a week-to-week, game-to-game basis. If he gets better within one game, imagine what he can do between week 1 and week 18. This kid, he's the future. I've been saying this all season long. And some people will try to say, well, you know, calm down, man. Take it easy. It's only Houston. Shut the fuck up, man. These are the same people doing cartwheels and backflips over Jimmy Garoppolo beating the Jacksonville Jaguars, the worst team in the NFL. Jimmy has a good game versus the Bears, another terrible football team, and people are online demanding that we give Jimmy Garoppolo his respect. He's 30 years old. This kid's 21, making his second career NFL start. It's still professional football players. It's still grown-ass men out there. And he went out there in the second half and tore them apart. A week prior, this same team, this same defense, shut down Justin Herbert and forced him to throw 3 interceptions last week. Trey Lance comes out this week and eviscerates them in the second half. Slow start? Yes. Some miscues? Yes. Some things that need to be cleaned up and polished? Absolutely. Is he still raw in some areas? Yes. But the potential is there. The ceiling is there. The big play capability. The possibilities are endless. It's limitless. He's like Keith Lee. He's limitless. Bask in his glory. Bask in the glory of Trey Lance. Whether some people like it or not, the next face of the franchise, the future of the San Francisco 49ers, and I'm here for it. Rumble, young man, rumble. Trey Lance, that was a hell of a touchdown pass from you to Debo Samuel. That was fucking phenomenal. Rumble. Young man, rumble. And the last play from Trey Lance I'll talk about, this was another darts, another phenomenal throw across the middle of the field. He recognizes a vacancy in the middle of the field. Houston playing cover two. George Kittle's biggest play of the day. Makes a spectacular one-handed catch. Great throw by Trey Lance. Great catch by George Kittle. He was also being interfered with on this play. The referees threw a flag for pass interference on this play. It didn't stop George Kittle from making the catch. Awesome fucking play from Trey Lance to George Kittle. And that's the best way to cap it off. He did run for a touchdown. It was called back due to the hold on Brandon Ayuk. That kind of sucks. Kind of takes some of the piss out of it. But either way, 23-7 49ers win, 16-23, 249 yards, two touchdowns, one interception, quarterback rating of 116, almost identical numbers to Colin Kaepernick's first start for the 49ers against the Chicago Bears back in 2012 on a Monday night football game. The only difference was Cap didn't throw a pick in that game. Lance, unfortunately, had the pick in the first half to Desmond King. But nevertheless, he persisted and he learned from his mistake and he got better. The best way I can describe Trey Lance's performance, the best word, if I had to attach one word and one word only to describe his performance versus the Houston Texans last Sunday, encouraging. If you're a 49er fan, you should be encouraged by what you saw. You saw growth, development, maturation, and progression all within four quarters of a football game. And it bears repeating one more time. Imagine what he can do if he played every game throughout the entire regular season. If he had been starting from day one, imagine where he would be at right now. If he was the week one starter and started every game in between up until week 18, imagine where Trey Lance would be at right now. Imagine where the 49er offense would be at right now. Been wasting our time all season long with Jimmy Garoppolo, who maxed out on his potential years ago, hit his head on his ceiling a long time ago. This is as good as Jimmy is ever going to be. Just basic, average, mundane, milquetoast, vanilla, and mediocre. This is all he's got. But Trey Lance, on the other hand, limitless potential. The ceiling is the roof, as Michael Jordan would say. There's a lot to like about this kid, and unless you're just a pro Jimmy Garoppolo person, you have to be excited about this kid, where he's at right now, and where he could potentially end up. It's off the charts. The arm talent is otherworldly. Fix some of the mechanical issues going on with him, clean up some of the fundamentals, the footwork, get his body all tied together in concert, from his feet to his knees to his hips, to his core, to his midsection, to his upper body, to his shoulders. Get the whole kinetic chain all figured out. And those are all, everything wrong with him, as I said earlier, are all things that could easily be fixed. Mechanics, anticipation, reading defenses more consistently, and just even little things like sticking the ball over the first down marker to pick up a first down. It's all little things. There's nothing major with him that is fucked up, that has to be fixed. It's all little things here and there that all come with time on the field and experience. But 49er fans, trust me when I tell you this, he's good. He's really fucking good. He's got the goods. This kid has it. Whatever it is, he has it. I swear to you on this. I mean this with every fiber of my being. Trey Lance is going to be great in the NFL. Justin Herbert, Josh Allen, those are the two guys I compare him to more than anyone else. People want to be lazy and compare him to other black quarterbacks. Fuck that. When I look at this kid, I see Josh Allen 2.0. If you're a Buffalo Bills fan, you should be over the moon right now over how good Josh Allen turned out to be. If you're a Niner fan, you should be on the edge of your seat waiting for the moment it all clicks and comes together and Trey Lance looks like Josh Allen in a 49er uniform. The kid is going to be special. Don't expect it all to click and happen overnight. Exercise patience. Be patient. He's 21. I can't stress that enough. He's 21. The same patience you have for Jimmy Garoppolo, have some of that for Trey Lance. The same excuses you make for Jimmy Garoppolo, make those excuses for Trey Lance. He's 21. This is his second start in the NFL. I'm not saying he's going to be Josh Allen tomorrow, but next year or 2 years from now, it's there. Trust me, it's there. I watch nothing but football and the occasional episode of South Park and Seinfeld, but primarily I watch nothing but football. I watch every snap this kid had in this game. I've watched every snap he's taken as a member of the 49ers. Trust me when I tell you this, it's there. Whatever it is, it's there. It's special. It's phenomenal. It's real, and it's spectacular. Trey Lance is the guy for the future for the 49ers. Trust me when I tell you this. Can't wait to see this kid play for the Niners for the next 10 to 15 years, hopefully, and can't wait to see him just get better incrementally, week by week, game by game, just get better. It's going to be awesome. I promise you, 49er fans, I promise you, football fans in general, I mean this, it's going to be awesome. Trey Lance is going to be awesome. That concludes this episode of Deion Gordon Podcast. I hope you thought this episode of this Deion Gordon Podcast was awesome. I know it's been a while. I apologize for that, but always humble, eternally grateful, very much appreciative. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time, picture me rolling. I'm out.